Good evening. It is good to be back here this evening. Of course, not under these circumstances, but certainly it's good to be here. As we had looked last week at walking in the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, I figured I'd just continue and go through the different fruit of the Spirit, and tonight would be the fruit of joy. And we'll take a look at that fruit. Certainly one of the fruit that tastes good, right? I don't know what kind of fruit you like. Maybe it's the apple or the grape, but certainly this isn't the lemon. Okay, so that's a good fruit to have. As we think about the fruit of joy and begin getting into this message today, I think about our country and where we're at and some of the things that we see going on around us that relates to this whole subject of joy. It is amazing to see so many people struggling in this area, some who even go to the far extreme to commit suicide, who just are so depressed and so struggling with life and what their life is about that they decide to take it. But being in the depths of despair is not something that is untouched by some of the great heroes of the faith even. You know, you can go through the Bible and you can see some of the heroes of our faith who struggled with depression, with despair, with frustration. They seem to have lost their joy. Think about it. How about Elijah? Remember Elijah? Boy, after such a great victory on Mount Carmel, prophets of Baal were defeated, God's name was praised, and what happens? He loses hope, goes out into the wilderness and says, "Hey, Lord, kill me. You know, take my life." Wow. Wow. David, at one point in Psalm 55, verse 6 through 8 there, he says, I would like to be like a dove who could fly away when a storm comes. Get me out of here, you know? You think of a Job. He wished, and it says in Job 3:11, he wished he never was born. Man. You see, the depths of despair, it affects some of the great heroes of the faith. Perhaps it has affected you at times. Where you say, boy, life is, boy, it's been hard. And it's hard to have joy at this time. I would say in our society here, we probably tend to lose sight of things a little bit quicker than some societies. Certainly, if you would compare what's going on here to what's going on in communist China, the churches there, the persecution and things that they are facing is a lot different than what we are facing. You know, and yet, in the hardship, they have joy. I talked to several different people who have been over there and visiting in China, and some of the things going on. It is amazing to see how happy they are. I remember one of my favorite professors when he preached, he talked about being over in Romania when that was yet a communist country. And he said that he went to preach on a Saturday or on a Sunday, and that Saturday it had begun a snowstorm, and it stormed all night long. And the roads were impassable. It was about 3-4 feet of snow, just ridiculous. He got to the church, and he was staying right near the church there, so he could get there without a problem. He gets there, and they just opened up the doors, and people began walking and coming in. They waited a couple hours before they started the service. By the time that they started the service, they had to leave the doors open because people were standing out on the porch so they could hear. It was packed. The preacher who got up to preach to introduce this missionary speaker who was coming over, the professor that I had, the pastor comes out. He had a scar that went from here at the bridge of his nose all the way up around on both sides of the face, up around his head and back down. He had been tortured because he preached the gospel. But he was there that day. And the professor says, "Man, what a glorious day." He says, "We preached the gospel for several hours between the two of us, hundreds of people getting saved." He says, "It was amazing to see, and they rejoiced." And he said, when they sang, he says, unbelievable, the joy that filled that building. You see, out of hardship can come some great joy. So I think about it tonight, and want you to think about what brings you joy, what brings you happiness. brings you joy? And then what takes it away? What takes it away? Well, several things in Scripture. And as before we get there, I guess let's just open with a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us as we dive into His Word, that He reveals to us the truth we need to hear tonight. So let's pray and offer this to the Lord. Dear God, I do thank You for the challenge in Your Word that, Lord, comes at a fitting time for each of us. That, Lord, we know we can always rejoice in You, whether good times or bad, whether hardships or times of great blessing. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to remember some of these principles in Your Word and the challenge to be focused on You. And Lord, I pray that as we open Your Word, You hide this preacher behind Your book. And Lord, I pray that Your Word would reach into the hearts of each one here and be an encouragement, provide hope. Lord, provide an aspect where perhaps some need to make a change. And Lord, I pray that You continue to use these things in my life as well. In Your name I pray. Amen. So, walking in the Spirit. Remember, if you were here from last week, walking in the Spirit is a journey that you're making. He wants you to go along with. You're going to be yielded to Him, and you're going to take that journey and walk with Him. And so, as a result of that walk, you bear fruit. So, last week and Sunday night, we talked about love, and tonight, joy. But you realize that there are some things that can make you happy that really shouldn't make you happy. Kind of a sad thing to think about. Here's three of them. Proverbs 15:21 teaches us that it is not good to rejoice in folly. All right? So there's one. Certainly, foolishness. Boy, isn't that just about what every sitcom on TV is based on? You know, laughing at foolishness. It's a, you know, rejoice in the folly. You know, it sometimes is funny, some of the silly things that happen. I know I like some of the slapstick comedy. You know, I like when people, what do they call that comedy where you know, you fall and you hit your head and it kind of looks funny. You know, I can't remember what they call that. I don't know what it's called, but it's bodily comedy, you know, where they do physical comedy. That's what they call it, physical comedy. There you go. Well, the physical comedy, I think it's kind of funny, you know, where not quite as much Three Stooge, you know, but that kind of thing where, you know, I'm going to poke you in the eyes and you got the bridge, you know, all the techniques, you know, and you're carrying something and you turn and bam, you hit the other guy in the head. Oh, sorry, you know, I didn't see you there. You know, it's funny to me, some of those different things. But then there's some real foolishness that's, okay, it's just not funny. Well, Proverbs 24:17 also says, it is not good to rejoice when your enemy falls. Not good to rejoice when your enemy falls. I at times listen when I'm on my way to work, I listen to a sports channel and they talk about, you know, Eagles, nothing to be happy about there. You know, and the one fella gets on there and he hates any other team that the Eagles are playing, and especially the Cowboys, you know. And, you know, if anything bad happens, you know, Tony Romo got hurt beginning of season. Oh, that's fantastic. It's like, whoa, wait a second, you know. And I right away, this scripture comes to mind every time, you know. Don't rejoice when your enemy falls. Don't glory in that. You know, I think, you know what, would you want somebody else glorying when you fall, you know, and taking joy in that? You know, if I stepped down off the pulpit, it looked funny. If I tripped over the three steps, I have to tell you, my dad just passed away this fall. And we were getting ready to do the service on Saturday morning. And my brother is a pastor in New Jersey, so he and I were sharing the service together. And we were getting all set up. The girls were all going to sing, the different daughters. My dad has 37 grandchildren, and so the girls were all going to get up and sing a special music for the funeral. And we were setting up, and I was carrying microphones. And it was two microphone stands. Each stand had four mics on it. And I'm carrying it, and I'm going to go upstairs, and it was probably about three steps like these. I fell. And I'll tell you what, I have the two stands, so I can't protect myself, and I really didn't want to mess up the stands. But I fell on the first step, which was kind of nice in a sense, because then when I landed on the stage, it wasn't that far of a fall, you know? I kind of rolled on my stomach, and it felt like I was a rocking chair for a second. And I rolled like this, and my feet let go, and my feet go flying up in the air. My brother, who's standing on the other side of the piano, looks, and all he can see is my feet way up in the air and me down face ground, face down on the ground. It had to be hilarious. Well, the guy said to me, and my brothers, you know, just all busting on me at that point, said, you know, we hope you do that for the service. That'd be great. So thankfully, High Point has a hand railing, and when I walked up, then I grabbed the handrail and walked up real carefully. You know, I looked at them, I made it, you know, and they were like, yeah, good job, you know. But yeah, it, you know, the laugh at the fall, you know, and it was funny at the moment, but boy, what if I got really hurt? Then it all of a sudden turned, okay, laughter was not so funny now, and, you know, the ding-dongs hurt. It's amazing in Scripture to see some of those different things. Joy is not something to be had for several things. The third one is the pursuit of earthly pleasures. Ecclesiastes tells us that. Okay, so we're not turning to any of those three scriptures, but Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon writes and says, hey, look, I've been there. I've pursued pleasure. I've known what pleasure is like, and is vanity. There's no joy there. It doesn't last. In fact, in Hebrews 11:25, it tells us that sin is fun for a season. Oh, it's joyous for a season, but that's it. You don't find real joy there. So, where do you find joy? So let's turn in our Bibles, first of all, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. First Peter, chapter 1, it says there in verse 8, it says, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And here, as they talk about the appearing of Jesus Christ, he says, you've not seen, yet you love him. You see him not, but believing, you rejoice with unspeakable joy. That's the kind of joy you want to have, isn't it? But where's this joy found? It's found in Christ. So, first of all, joy is found in Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. From your faith, through you believing. Jesus, whom you've not seen. Well, wouldn't it have been nice to be a Thomas, you know, to actually say, hey, unless I see, and then you get the opportunity and you actually see? You know, there would be times where it'd be nice to be able to see Jesus. But having not seen, we can rejoice. Unspeakable joy. It doesn't matter whether I've seen or not seen. I know Jesus. I shared with you my testimony last week and how I came to know Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, it changed my life. How about you? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, did it change you? Did you know that joy? Sometimes you can rehearse that joy again, can't you? You begin to think about, boy, someday I'm going to be in glory. My dad, that was his passion before he ever had heart problems. And well, I can't wait to be in glory. I want to die with my boots on, but let me tell you, I want to go to glory and be in heaven one day. And you think about all that it is. Well, because you're in Christ, you have unspeakable joy. Jesus provides that. But Jesus, he doesn't just provide that. He also completes that as well. And we think about that joy. God's love is ever present, even when he allows us to go through tough times. And he prays for us in John chapter 15. If you flip over there to John chapter 15. He says in verse 11, John 15, 11, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be" what? Full. That it might be complete. Full. I don't know about you, but there's been times where I know that full joy. When my kids trusted Christ as Savior, there's full joy. You know, when my daughter and son-in-law decided to be missionaries, man, there's full joy. You know, when you get to talk to somebody who you talk to time and time and again about the Lord, and they finally say, "I'm ready. I want to accept Christ." Wow, there's full joy. When you see a person who hasn't been living for the Lord turn their life around and say, "You know what? I'm going to get it right now. I'm going to repent. I'm going to do it God's way." Whew. There's full joy. I think about what Christ was talking about, and here he talks to them. He says, "Look, I want you to understand, I love you. You're my friends. Not just, yes, you serve, but I consider you my friend. And I want your joy to be complete. So do what I command. Do what I ask. Much like I love my children to have accepted Christ and to obey God in everything that they do, I know that there's been times in my life where I've done something that I also have made my mom and dad happy. In the same way, where I've gotten a chance to do something, they say, "Wow, I'm proud of you, son. You made my joy complete." You know? That love that's there for a child. But that's our Heavenly Father. He loves us so much, He sent His Son to provide for us that joy. He completes that in us. He wants our joy to be full. Now, it is also maintained by a reliance on Christ. It's not just complete in Christ. Joy is maintained by our reliance on Christ. Philippians chapter 4. We'll turn over there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say" what? Rejoice. Rejoice. Now, sounds easy enough, right? Until that storm comes. Until life gets a little tougher. Till finances don't quite work out. You get that extra bill you didn't plan on. The car breaks down and your heating bill's high. And you, man, you get overwhelmed. But you can still find joy. How is that? Rejoice. What's he saying? Lord, alway. Well, let's keep it in context. Because we follow the context of this down. He says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." The Lord's present. He's right here for you. "Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And" what? "The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You see, you can rejoice always, despite anything going on, because you know the Lord is right there. He's right at hand. And when the troubles come, and the tough times are there, and they're surrounding you and dragging you down, you can look up and know He's right there. And you take that request and with thanksgiving say, "Lord, I thank You that You're right here for me. Take me, care for me right now." Man, No wonder you can rejoice, because God is right there. So rejoice always. It's maintained by our reliance on Him. I go to Him. I cast all those concerns, those worries, those things dragging me down. Only if Elijah would have remembered that. You know? To go out into the wilderness. Take my life. I'm done. If he only knew. God had to tell him. I have thousands of people who would come and could do what you do. I wanted you, Elijah, to do this. I could have called, and he brings up Elisha. Okay, Elijah, you're done. Go get Elisha, though, for he'll take over. Man. I wonder if Elijah's ministry, how long that would have gone, you know? If you could adjust that. But in God's perfect sovereignty, you know, he takes him up in that chariot of fire instead. David. Instead of flitting away like a dove, he was calling unto the Lord at that time. He says, this is how I feel. But Lord, you're here. You read through the Psalms, and you often see the frustration and the hardship, but a constant reliance on God. So that when we get to Acts chapter 4, we see that David was a man after God's own heart. And yeah, for all the sins and things that David struggled with, set those aside, because he wanted to walk with God. He failed at times, miserably. But he also came back and said, you know what? My God will forgive me. My God loves me. And I'm going to continue to pursue him with all my might. I remember being in college and a professor says to me, you know, what do you pray for? Do you pray for wisdom like Solomon? You're here at college, you're going to learn all you can. Do you want to be wise? Or do you want to have a heart like David? To remember that God is always with you. The joy. Solomon right away remembered, yeah, I don't have any joy. I pursued all the pleasures of life. Gained some wisdom through all that. But miserable. So, it's complete in Christ. It's maintained by a reliance on Christ. But joy also is rooted in hope. It's rooted in hope. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. He says, rejoicing, there it is, that word again, that joy, that chara joy, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. He talks about it, and here he lists off different things that certainly the church needed to get a hold of, and he talks about some of the different things that they need to do. But they rejoice in what? In hope. You see, joy is often rooted right there. It is in hope. It's in hope. Well, what is our hope? I think about our hope. I think about Nehemiah and what he says. He says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. He talks about that joy of the Lord. That pursuit, he looks forward to the time when God would come and deliver them in the Old Testament, where God would come and establish his kingdom. For us in the New Testament, we think about what the Apostle Paul often mentions. I look for that day when Jesus would come again. And you see that the heartbeat of the early church in the book of Acts constantly was looking forward to the time in which Jesus would return. How about you? What's your hope in? Hope is in the Lord, right? My hope is in what he has prepared for me. My hope is that, Lord, one day I will be with him in glory. My hope is that when it says in Revelation chapter 21 that he's going to wipe away every tear and there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, I can't wait for that day. The day when I no longer have to struggle with sin. Oh, a verse that just floors me every time I come across this verse. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, somebody brought this to my attention one time. I couldn't believe it. It says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy." What? My God is going to rejoice over me with joy. Can you imagine that? I know me. I know me better than you know me. And there's some things that, you shouldn't rejoice over. Oh, you know, right, honey? Yeah, see? Man. But my God, in glory, I get there. He's going to rejoice with joy over me. That's some love. That's some grace, let me tell you. You see, my joy is rooted in hope. A hope in a God who created me, loves me, sent his son to die for me, and one day wants me to be with him. He's preparing a place for me there, and he's going to rejoice with joy when I get there. And my brother just put a picture up of my dad on Facebook. And it's my dad and my brother. My one brother had passed away 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And it's the two of them walking on a street. I don't know how he got the picture or where he got it from, but you can see them walking on a street when my brother's out in North Dakota. And he put that picture up there, and the question is, wonder what they're talking about now. Man. I know this, Zephaniah 3:17, God's rejoicing with joy over them being there. And I know my brother and dad, and I'm sure they count that all a blessing. How about you? Your joy is complete in Christ. It's maintained by your reliance on Christ. It's rooted in hope. So, if you fill in the blank then, what would you put here? The possession of blank provides for living one's entire life in joy. The possession of blank provides for living one's entire life in happiness. You could put all kinds of things there. The world certainly has put all kinds of things there that never last. But the one thing that goes in that blank is Christ. It's Christ. You see, it starts with him. He wants our joy to be full. It ends with him. We're going to be with him one day. Jesus Christ makes it all possible to have this kind of joy. So, I guess there are some things then that we got to be on guard with when we think about joy. Discouragement, discontent, discord, defilement. Use all D's there. There's times where any of those things can rob us of joy. When they come, we know that we got to get our connection with Christ right. Make sure it's right so that joy is maintained. And so I encourage you, boy, if there's discontent, godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul said, I know how to be content, whether I have very little or I have a lot. I know what that's like, but I'm content. Some joy builders. Well, oftentimes in Scripture you can see, and I got a pile of verses here I could share with you. I don't have time, and we don't want to play Bible hopscotch right now, but joy and salvation, certainly you see that in Scripture over and over. Joy builder. So you say, well, I'm struggling with my joy. I got the grumpy Christian outlook on life right now. When people look at me, they're not seeing it. Well, then maybe you need to focus in on your salvation, what God's done for you. That's a joy builder. Serving the Lord. It's a joy builder. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 through 8 tells us that. It's a joy builder to serve God. There's joy in suffering. When you're suffering for Christ, boy, it actually builds joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7 reminds us of that. Another joy builder, Psalm 100, reminds us there's joy in singing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's a joy builder. We see in Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us that we ought to be singing and making melody in our hearts. Man, I never can understand. I've had a couple people tell me they don't listen to music ever. I'm like, how is that possible? You know, I guess I remind them, say, well, at least you're making melody in your heart, right? And they have to think, oh, well, man. Make a melody in your heart. It's a joy builder. Do you know that community right here, you being here tonight, is a joy builder? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 10 reminds us of that. Ecclesiastes 4:9 reminds us of that. That community. One falls in a field, the other's there to lift them up. You see, it's a joy builder to have somebody else to go along with you. When you come out to church, one is here to encourage you. Help the other one. Comfort. You see, that community helps provide joy. The world tries to do similar things like that, don't they? They know that sometimes you need community. But they go out to the bar to find community. They try to drown their problems in their drink. That joy doesn't last. But when you're comforting and encouraging each other with the things of God's word, and when you're rejoicing and singing songs and making melody in your heart, you find, oh, you know what? That joy lasts. It lasts. So being here at church certainly is a joy builder. And then I guess reminding yourself of this in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Let's just go there. One last scripture to turn to. Psalm chapter 30. As soon as you get there and you see the verse, you'll be like, oh man, I think I know this verse. For his anger endures but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. Hey, it doesn't last long. The tough things you're going through, this life is a vapor. It goes by quickly. The hard things, hang in there. Take heart. Joy comes in the morning. I pray that you know joy like I know joy. Know that it comes through Christ, and that you take effort to build joy with these different joy builders. You continue to be out, fellowshipping together, encouraging each other, and continue to walk in the Spirit. It's a byproduct of being with Him. You walk in the Spirit, joy is going to come. Joy is going to come. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for your word. I pray you help us now as we close, and Lord, as we head out and go to work or tomorrow and different things that we got to do this week, I pray you help us to be mindful of your word and what we heard both this morning, this evening, and the encouragement and the challenge of your word. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to live it out and be able to put it in practice. And Lord, allow others to see that rejoicing in our heart is because of you. And Lord, you are our hope. Lord, I pray that you be with Pastor. Heal him. Lord, I pray that you give doctors wisdom and insight there. Help him, Lord, to be patient and allow the doctors to be able to just do what they need to do. And Lord, provide confidence there for him to rely on them. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one here, Lord. You encourage their heart, and I pray that, Lord, as oft as they can meet, that, Lord, they'd be back here again, fellowshipping together and rejoicing in you. Lord, I thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's close. We'll stand and sing 387.